Morning, church. Good to be together this morning. Always a blessing to worship God and open up His Word and study from it. So we're going to be in John 4 this morning, looking at this encounter that Jesus has with this woman at Jacob's well. And interesting, you know, water is a huge part of what we need to survive as humans. And I'd gather to say that some of us have drank more water this past week because of the heat than we have in a long time. And so I know down at camp when it was toasty, we tried to give those kids and us as much water as we possibly could to stay hydrated. So which everybody did a pretty good job with that. But this is an interesting encounter here that Jesus has with this woman at the well. And this is more than just a conversation that Jesus had with somebody. I mean, Jesus talked to everybody he could. He had conversations with everybody, anybody and everybody that he encountered. You know, he never shied away from a conversation. I don't want you to raise your hand in here. Don't incriminate yourself. But who has gone down at another aisle of the grocery store because there was somebody in that aisle you didn't want to talk to? Don't raise your hand. We're all guilty at some point. We'll just leave it at that. Sometimes we avoid people because we don't want to talk to them, right? Jesus didn't do that. Jesus didn't go down the other aisle of the grocery store. He talked to everybody and anybody he could because he didn't care who they were, what their social status was. He was there to teach them about salvation. And so this encounter was no different than anything that Jesus had done before as far as who he was talking with. Let's back up to verse 4 and John 4 there. It says, and he had to pass through Samaria. So he came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. So Jesus entered as Jesus, weary as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman from Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink," for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria?" For Jews had no dealings with Samaritans. Interesting, it says that Jesus had to pass through Samaria. Normally, usually, Jews didn't go that direction. If they had to go there, they would have gone around. They would not have gone through Samaria. I have been accused several times of not taking the shortest distance to get somewhere. I like to sightsee. I like to see things. I'm not in a hurry. If it takes 10 extra minutes, it takes 10 extra minutes. Jesus didn't do that. He intentionally went through this city. I'd venture to say it wasn't just by luck that he came upon this woman at the well. And he had sent the disciples away to go buy food and supplies for that day. They had been traveling. So Jesus asks this woman, says, "I'm thirsty. Can I have some water?" And to her surprise, she says, "Why are you even talking to me? You shouldn't even be talking to me. Our people don't mix oil and water." And I mean, it wasn't we mentioned in Bible class, we talked a little bit about, you know, the differences, Jews and Gentiles, and how much, it wasn't just I guess I can tolerate you in the same room. I mean, it was a deep, deep hatred for each other. Total avoidance. Yet here Jesus sits and talks to this woman. Jesus didn't care about social status. Jesus didn't care about racial status. He didn't care about anything. Matter of fact, he found himself intentionally in places, according to society, he shouldn't have been. He found himself eating with people he shouldn't have ate with. He found himself associating and talking with people that he should not have been talking with or associating with according to society. But Jesus didn't care. You see, he didn't care what people thought he should be doing, because he had a purpose. His single purpose was to bring this new covenant, this new way of salvation to the world. He wasn't worried about what other people thought. Matter of fact, he could hear the snickering. He knew in a crowd who was there to hear him speak the word and who was there to try to take him down. He knew all that stuff, and it didn't stop him. He didn't care. He wasn't worried about it. I think maybe we need to all examine ourselves. Do we care? Do we not tell somebody about the good news of Jesus Christ because we're worried about what society's going to say? I promise you, I am very much talking to myself with this. If we're going to be a Christian, if we're going to be like Jesus, we have to have that attitude of, it doesn't matter where I go, where he sends me, I'm going to do and I'm going to take the news. No matter what society or culture says. You see, Jesus went to get others. Jesus went to find others. He went to teach others where other people wouldn't go. He intentionally went through this part because he wasn't supposed to go through this part. And we're not going to get into it this morning, but you could read later what were the disciples and apostles' reaction when they came back. What are you doing? Do you know what you're doing? Of course you knew what he was doing, right? But he didn't care. What's Matthew 28 tell us? Matthew 28:19 says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." See, he didn't say, go therefore and make disciples of some of the nations, or the ones that are nice and friendly to you, or, you know, the ones that have air conditioning in their houses where you can go and sit and enjoy yourself. He didn't say that. He didn't say, go teach all the nations that are going to be kind to you and nice to you and not make fun of you, not want to persecute you. He didn't say that at all. All means everything, everywhere, no matter what. If we're going to spread the good news of Jesus Christ, if we're going to take the gospel to as many people as we can, we must be willing to cross those boundaries. We must be willing to cross the social boundaries, the boundaries of what this culture puts on us, the restrictions of what our society gives us. We must be willing to not worry about those things, just as Jesus did. And we must be willing to step out of our personal comfort zone. That's tough. That's hard. I like to be comfortable. I like to be okay with things. I don't like to feel like I don't belong. I don't like to feel uncomfortable. I like to have everything right in order and right in line. I like that. Well, sometimes if we're going to do what Jesus has commanded us to do in Matthew, we've got to step out of those comfort zones. We have to be willing to take on a little persecution. I venture to say the persecution that we might face today is nowhere near the persecution that others have faced before us. We might be willing to have society look at us and go, why are you talking to that person? Why are you with that person? Why do you go to church on Sundays? Why do you go to Bible class on Wednesday nights? Why do you take a week and go to vacation Bible school? Why do you go to camp when it's the hottest it's been in 800 years? I don't understand. I did question myself a couple times this week. Kidding. Why do you do those things? You could be out having fun. You could be on vacations. You could be doing so many other things. Why do you choose to do the Sunday? Might be the only day you get to sleep in. Why do you get up early and come to church? See, that's what society says. Society said, Jesus, what in the world are you doing sitting here at this well talking to this woman? Culture says, Jesus, you shouldn't be doing that. You know better. You know who she is. You know what she is? Yeah. Jesus absolutely did. And yet there he was, having that conversation. Let's pick it up in verse 10. John chapter 4, verse 10. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God, and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself. And did his sons and his daughters, as did his sons and his livestock." Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never thirst again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." Woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." And the woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true." See, Jesus calls her out, doesn't he? Jesus says, "Go get your husband," in verse 16. See, Jesus makes an offer to her. Jesus says, "I've got something that will cleanse you, that will cleanse this thirst forever." He didn't ignore her sin. But he also said it in a loving way and told her what her sin was. He didn't condemn her. He gave her the solution. You see, he said, "You can't drink enough water to quench that thirst. You may drink water now, and you may be okay for a little while, but eventually you're going to get thirsty again, aren't you? We may eat lunch here in a little while. We may be okay. Well, some of you may last longer than me, but I mean, you may be okay for a while, but we're going to get hungry again. Last week, I couldn't drink enough water. I get thirsty." That's the physical thing. You see, if we chase physical things in this world, we're always going to want more. We're always going to need more. If we look to fill this gap that we have, maybe if we look on physical things, I'm going to buy this new thing here, I'm going to get this new thing here, and yeah, it's going to satisfy us for a little bit until the next new thing comes out. That's how we're wired. That's our mind. We're always chasing something new. If we put our focus on the physical things of this world, absolutely we're going to keep chasing that. And Jesus says, you drink this water, you're going to still be thirsty. And what's the woman say? Do you know whose well this is? Do you know what well I'm drawing from? This is Jacob's well. This is special. This isn't just any hole in the ground that somebody dug and waters in it. This was a very special well here. And it's funny that Jesus asks her for a drink. That's kind of the icebreaker, right? Can you give me a drink? I'm a little thirsty. And of course, she wasn't thinking anything other than, yeah, that well, the water from this well, how are you going to get this? You don't have anything to get water from. If we put our hopes into things of this physical world, we're never going to be satisfied. We may be temporarily satisfied, but we're never going to truly be satisfied. And that's what Jesus was saying right here to this woman. You drink that water, you're going to be thirsty. I have something for you. I have this water for you that when you take it, you are never going to thirst again. You see, when we chase that water, when we chase those things that Jesus has given us here in the Word, that's where the satisfaction comes. That's where we feel full in life. Not just for a little bit, not just till something new comes out, but if we truly put everything we have in Him, He will provide us with that water that we're never going to thirst again. Jesus mentioned, yeah, you're right about your husband. You see, we're going to have true worship. If we're going to come on our knees, give ourselves to Him, we have to recognize that, yes, we have sin in our lives and that we're not perfect. You see, in order to achieve that relationship with God, we have to humble ourselves and say, yeah, I can't do this. In order for us to have true worship and true life with God, we have to be honest with Him. We have to be honest with Him. We have to be willing to say, yeah, this water I'm chasing, it's not cutting it. I'm still thirsty. I need that living water. You see, grace that we're given by God, it doesn't ignore their sin. Jesus didn't ignore the sin that this woman had. He didn't just gloss over it. He didn't just sweep it on the rug. He acknowledged it, didn't he? But also, He more than acknowledged it. He gave her the way to fix it. God knows we sin. Even if nobody else knows we sin, God knows we sin. But He also gives us the way that we can fix it. 1 John 1 says, verse 7, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses our sins. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses our sins. That's the answer. That's the living water. We can't receive that living water if we're still living that sinful life. If my focus is on anything but the Father in heaven, if I'm chasing anything other than eternal life, I'm chasing the wrong thing. If I'm drinking any other water than the water that Jesus gave me, I'm going to always be thirsty. I'm never going to be satisfied. God knows our hearts. He already knows our hearts. He can tell if we're just giving Him lip service. He can tell if we're just worshiping together, just going through the motions, checking off the boxes. Yep, I showed up. I sat in my assigned seat, I sang some songs, I said the prayer, I put money in the box, check, 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 I'm good. God knows that. We're not fooling Him. We may fool each other, but we're not fooling God. Jesus offered this living water to this woman He shouldn't even have been in the same proximity of, according to the society. And He brought to her a gift like no other. I encourage you to read the rest of the story. It's a pretty neat story. Of course it is. God put it in there for a reason. God offers that living water to us. Do we take it? Or do we go, eh, I don't think I want it today. I've got this other thing that I feel pretty good about. It's filling my time. Eh, I'll go to church every once in a while and say hi. That's the trap Satan throws. See, He doesn't want us to drink that living water. He wants to drink that other stuff that we're always chasing satisfaction. You see, this woman, she came to this well empty, ashamed, searching. But she left that well forgiving, fulfilled, and focused on others. Jesus still offers us that living water today. But we have to accept it. He's not going to make us take it. He's not going to make us do something that our heart doesn't want to do. Whoever drinks the water that I will give him will never thirst again. I want that water. I want that satisfaction. I want that to fill me. I want that to fill you. And we should want that to fill every single person we come in contact with. Even if it takes us to places that, according to our society, we shouldn't go. Everybody needs Jesus. Go preach to all nations. Everybody needs Jesus. God's not holding us back. God's encouraging us. We hold us back. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we love you. How you bless us in so many ways that we can't even begin to count them all. Father, you give us this living water that Jesus gave this woman at the well. Father, this water that is like none other. You've given us this opportunity to take this and to never thirst again, as it is written. Father, some days we do. You know, Father, some days we don't. And Father, some days we love you with all of our heart. Some days, Father, I'm ashamed to say we forget you. But no matter what, you're right there waiting on us to receive us, to help us, comfort us, to give us strength, and all you ask of us is to ask. You will do it. Father, we live in a challenging world. It's nothing new, Father. We know we can read in the Bible. Societies throughout the years have struggled, fought against each other, fought against you. It feels sometimes Satan is winning these little battles, Father. Guide us through them. Strengthen us through them. Give us the abilities that we need, Father, to recognize them. Father, give us the courage to share the good news of Jesus Christ to all nations. Father, we love you. We thank you for Jesus. In his name I pray. Amen. Amen. So it's up to us. It's up to us. Pretty simple. We take it, we accept it. We drink from that water that we're never going to thirst again, or we don't. That's pretty much it. Two choices. As individuals, that's our individual choice. Are you here this morning? Have you taken a drink of that living water that Jesus talks about? Or have you said, I haven't done that yet, but I want it. I want that water. I want to never thirst again. You have an opportunity here in a moment to give your life to Him. Say, you know what, this old person, not done with them. I want this new person. We have 5 new brothers and sisters in Christ from camp last week. Your choice. Take it or leave it. Or maybe you've accepted that and you realized, you know, I haven't done what He's wanted me to do. My relationship isn't right with God. I've lost my focus. I've let the worldly things get between me and Him. I need prayers of the church. I need prayers for my friends and my family. Whatever your need is this morning, come to the front as we stand together and as we sing.